to preach a few minutes this morning from Mark chapter 5. I appreciate the presence of God, appreciate the good singing, the good testimonies that's been given. I'm glad we go to a church where it's not dead, as it's already been said, and it's not quiet. Amen. You say, well, I don't know about all that testifying and shouting and singing. Well, there's plenty of dead churches around here if you want to go find you one. Isn't that right? And there's a lot of churches just like mortuaries. And I know you ain't got to shout to have God, but when you have God, sometimes you just got to shout. Amen. And you can't help it. Amen. Truth is, we don't want to not help it. Amen. It gets good. I like it. And this church has been this way since 1961. Old time religion. And we plan on staying this way. Amen. If we live, and this, when the world carries on and Jesus hadn't come in our lifetime, you know what? We, by the grace of God, we're going to stay on the side of the road and stay old fashioned and still singing and preaching and shouting. Amen. And King James and knocking on doors and all that stuff. Amen. We're not going to change. Let the world do what they want to. We're just going to serve God. Isn't that right? Amen. And we're going to keep it real all the days of our life. Amen. Want to give the next generation, as it's already been said, the same opportunity to get a taste of old-time religion. Amen. And that's not an offensive phrase. I embrace that phrase. We've embraced it all of our life. And we're not ashamed of old-time religion around here. Amen. Let's stand. Mark chapter 5 this morning. Mark chapter 5. And look with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But I like this verse. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he saith unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked, what is thy name? And he answered, say, my name is Legion, for we are many. Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, God, that you would give us the liberty and the vocabulary to preach your word this morning. I ask, Father, that you would be glorified and you be magnified. We do not want to see flesh. We did not come this morning to put on a display or to perform in any way. But God, we ask that you would be pleased with our worship. May it be with a heart of sincerity and gratitude this morning. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you for the blood that was shed on the cross. And I pray this morning you'd save some sinner that's nearest hell. Oh God, I pray, visitor or church member this morning, I pray the Holy Ghost would speak to their heart and they'd come by way of the cross and be born again, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to preach a few minutes this morning on this subject, on help for the hopeless. Amen. Help for the hopeless. I think when we come to this text this morning that there are three things in this story that makes this story so wonderful. I mean, this is one of the stories of the Word of God that when you read it, it just seems to always grasp your attention. I think the Master makes it wonderful and makes it great, because when you read about the life of Christ, everything that Jesus did was wonderful. Everything Jesus did was marvelous. Everything Jesus did was great and miraculous. And we could say that about all the things concerning the life of Christ. His sermons, his ministry, his life, anything you want to talk about Jesus, it is wonderful. Amen. But there are those stories in the Bible, in the gospel, should we say, that seems to just get our attention, where it seems like Jesus does that thing that no one else can do. Amen. And here is a man that is hopeless, and the Master is going to help him. Here's a man that is beyond the reach of men, but he is not beyond the reach of God. And I want to say this morning, you may feel hopeless, and you may feel helpless, and you may be beyond the reach of man, but you are not beyond the reach of God this morning. And the Master makes this story wonderful, and then the man makes this story wonderful, because every man is a sinner.
and every man needs a Savior. But there are those that sin has chained them and pulled them as far down as what sin can possibly take a man. And that is what we read about in the life of this individual this morning. I'll tell you, no matter how far down a man may go, I'm telling you, the hand of God and the arm of God is not shortened that he cannot save, and his ear is not so heavy that he cannot hear. And Jesus is going to rescue this man, and this man makes the story great, and then the miracle makes this story great. What a miracle that when this country finds this man, later on in this passage of scripture, the Bible said he is sitting, he is clothed, and he is in his right mind. Amen. I'm telling you, God gave him a sound mind. He cleaned up his mind. He cleaned up his body. Amen. But he cleaned up his soul most of all. You know, that's what salvation will do. It'll make a difference from the inside out. Amen. This crowd that says they're saved, but they never go to church and don't have anything to do with God, never have, and they curse God every other breath, but they want to tell us they're going to heaven when this life is over with. Hey, friend, that's not the Jesus of this Bible. That's not the salvation of this book. I'm telling you, salvation will pick you up. It'll get you out of the mess you're in. It'll put your feet on a solid rock. It'll make a difference on the inside. But I promise you, if God's big enough to change a man on the inside, then he's big enough to change him on the outside. Amen. Amen. You won't go the places you used to go and do the things you used to do and say the things you used to say, because this man didn't, and no other man or woman in the Bible that got saved did neither. Amen. I'm talking about there's help for the hopeless this morning. Notice with me in verse number 1. I find the people in this text, as the Bible says, and they, talking about the disciples here, notice their passage that they came over unto the other side of the sea. I mean, they have crossed now the sea, and they've come over from, my friend, the sea to the country, the place of the Gadareans. And my friend, when we come to this text this morning in verse number 2, I want us to focus for a few moments on the man in this text here. And I want you to see this man, because this man represents every sinner that's ever born into this world. Amen. You might be here and say, Brother Gravely, I wasn't as bad as this man, because I've not been demon-possessed. I've not lived in the graveyard. I've not cut myself like this man was. I want to tell you, friend, you and I were just as wicked as this man. I want you to notice the condition of this man. Look at him in verse number 2. He has an unclean spirit. The Bible says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. You say, Brother Gravely, I'm not demon possessed. You may not be demon possessed this morning, but I want to tell you, this man was controlled by an unclean spirit. And there's a lot of people being led away into sin. You know why sinners do the things they do? Because they're lost, they're sinners. But there is someone that leads them further off into sin. You see, a lot of people think, if I get out into sin, young people, you listen to me, they think, if I get out into sin or get out in this world and I might sin a little bit, but I'm going to have some freedom, I'm going to have some liberty, I'm going to be able to do some things. I'm tired of my parents telling me what to do. I'm tired of the preacher telling me what to do. I get out there, I'm just going to live my own life. I'm going to tell you something. You get away from God, you won't live your life. You'll live the life and the path the devil chooses for you. You'll listen to what the world says is what you'll do. And this man was controlled by an unclean spirit. You know why some people are doing the things they're doing? Because they're full of the devil. Amen. We don't hear that much anymore, do we? But it's true. Amen. The devils, they get into people just like they did in the Gospels. Amen. And this man here, notice his condition. He has an unclean spirit. Notice he has an unnatural settlement. Look at verse number 3. The Bible said, who had his dwelling among the tombs. I mean, this man is living amongst the dead. You say, there's no way I'm going to live in a graveyard. And maybe that's true. But if you're lost, guess what? You're a dead man walking is what you are. You're a dead woman walking. Jesus said, I'm come. John chapter 15 and verse 13. I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it, more abundantly. 1 John chapter number 1 said this, that if we walk in the light, we have and we live in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus come to give sinners life. Amen. In Ephesians 2 and verse number 1, and said, and ye who were dead in trespasses and sin, before you get saved, you're just a walking dead man. Amen. You don't have no life in you this morning if you're not saved. You know, I worry about people who are members of churches, even this church, that as your pastor, when I look at you, you have no life in you. You sit there. I'm not talking about you got to shout and run aisles. I'm not against it, but that's not what I'm saying. There's some people sitting in church, no life. Tuned out. Turned off. You don't care what the singer's saying. You don't care what the preacher's preaching. It's a drudgery for you to go to church. You got to endure. I'm going to tell you something. This morning, if all my life going to church was nothing but having to go to church, I'd be doing some checking up this morning. I'm telling you, if going to church was just a, man, it's Sunday again. Man, I live for Sundays, don't you? I look forward to going to church. Do I get tired? Sure. Like everybody else? Yes. Are there Sundays that maybe my flesh doesn't feel that well and maybe I'm not just on cloud nine? Sure, that's true. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it's a burden. I'm talking about it's a drudgery. I'm talking about if you could get out right now, it would. You know what it is? It's a chain that's to you. But I'll tell you, that same crowd that you see with that no life in them sitting in church, it's not because they got a headache or having a bad Sunday or they got something going on or they're just thinking on what's being said. Oh no, that same crowd, you see them out here in the world and they're grinning like a possum. They're loving everything that's going on. They're liking everything this world likes. They're loving everything this world likes. You're not backslid. You never slid forwards. The problem this morning, you need to get saved, friend. And to get saved, you're going to have to, God, the Holy Ghost is going to have to wake you up. He's going to have to lighten your mind, let you see that all you got's religion and church membership. That's why this doesn't mean anything to you. That's why you're having to just endure it. But if you ever get born again, if you ever get saved, your allegiance will go beyond the preacher. It'll go beyond the church. It'll go beyond your parents. You'll not do this because you have to. You'll do it because you want to this morning. Man, I want to go to church, don't you? And I want to go to church Sunday night. I want to go to church Wednesday night. And if we're having revival down at the church I go to, I want to go to church when they're having revival. I'm not talking about you have to work and can't come. I'm talking about you're looking for a reason not to get in, more than you're looking for a reason to get in. Amen. You're living amongst the dead this morning. Spirit of God, I pray you'd open the eyes of people that they could see themselves lost. There are going to be people at the judgment seat of Christ, or the great white throne judgment. They're going to have a baptismal certificate and they're going to have a church membership. But they're not going to have their name written in that book. There's no life this morning. I'm going to tell you, evidence of your salvation this morning is not your works and your labor. I may not finish this sermon, but I'm right on target this morning. Evidence of salvation is like, well, preacher, I go to Sunday school and I sing in the choir and I pay tithes and I'm going to tell you something. None of that has anything to do with being saved. And it's not going to hold water at the judgment seat. This morning, you can do all these things that we do as Christians and you can think, well, I'm a good person because I'm going to tell you something. It's not about being a good person. It's not about your works. Salvation has nothing to do with what I do. Amen. Salvation has everything to do with what has been done and a personal relationship with God that goes deeper than just saying I'm saved. Amen. I'm talking about a relationship that makes me want to live for God. There's a hunger to live for God. And by the way, way. Even if you were backslip this morning, you would know it, and you would be so miserable that you would need to get right with God, because God would wear you out. Can I get an amen right there? This crowd that says they're saved, and listen, they act like they're backslid. I'm going to tell you something. Every real backslid person I ever met in this life, when they got backslid, they was miserable, because God whipped them every day for being out of the will of God. There are some people, they live out in sin, do all these things, and they say they're saved. They're living amongst the dead is what they're doing. He had an unnatural settlement. It's not normal to hang around tombs. Can we get an amen? It's not normal if you've got life, amen, to want to hang around the dead. He had an unbelievable strength. Look at verse 4. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains. Watch this. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. I mean, this is a wild man that cannot be tamed. They bound him up with fetters. They bound him up with chains, but he just broke those fetters. He just broke those chains. And isn't that what people do? I mean, they look at religion. They look at serving God when they're not saved. I'm telling you, before I got saved, I didn't know what salvation was, but I knew one thing. I didn't want to go to church, and I didn't want to be around that crowd. Amen. It didn't look like nothing but a bunch of fetters and change to me. And I'm telling you, if you're not saved, you can grow up in it all your life under the shadow of the cross. But this ain't nothing but fetters and chains. I'm telling you, having to sit in Sunday school's chains. I having to get up extra early and come to the house of God for Sunday school and hear somebody teach the Bible. If you're not saved, it's just fetters and chains. Having to dress right and do right's just fetters and chains. I mean, having to sing in a youth choir when you're not saved, it's just fetters and chains. You're looking for a way to break loose. You're looking for a way to get out. You're looking for a way to just get these things off of you. I'm telling you, that's what happens when a man's not saved. Listen, but when a man gets saved, thank God he is set free from this world, and he loves the things he used to hate, and he hates the things that he used to love. Amen. You know, before I got saved, and I'm not proud of it one bit, I loved rock music, and I'm sure a lot of people did before they got saved. I didn't care for country music. My parents listened to it, and I tell you, it drove me nuts. Tearing my beer, you know. Oh, Tammy, why not? You remember her from way back? You know, all that kind of stuff, you know. Hey, sing them old songs, you know, and all it was about sin and adultery and drinking and fornication, you know, and running around on your spouse and who's cheating who, you know, and all them old songs, you know, tight-fitting jeans. I remember all them old songs. My parents used to listen to them, and I thought, Lord, I'd just soon be beat with hickories, amen, as to listen to that mess, you know. But what I was listening to wasn't no better, amen. It was just as wicked and sorry and low down. And when I got saved, they wasn't nobody to come up to me and say, you need to change your radio station. Nobody was following behind me saying, hey, that's wicked music. I love my MTV just like the 80s generation did. That was the motto. Amen. And I'll tell you, when I got saved, I remember going in my bedroom and that little old radio sitting on that shelf. I always stayed on KZ106. And I walked in that bedroom, and for the first time, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, I didn't even know it was the Holy Ghost, but something on the inside said, why don't you turn that radio off? It played 24/7, never did turn that radio off. Went to bed with it on and woke up with it on. But I'll tell you what, when I walked in that morning, the Holy Ghost said, why don't you just turn that off? You know what I did? I walked over there and turned it off. Had a bunch of ungodly posters hanging up in my bedroom. I didn't even know they were ungodly at the time. But about another day or two later, that same something on the inside said, won't you take them posters off? Get all them rock stars off the wall. Get them women in bikinis off the wall. I tell you, I took all that stuff down. Went down to the little old ditch in a creek there and shredded it up and threw it. I didn't even really know why I was doing that. I just knew one thing. I felt so good when I turned that radio off. And when I took them posters off, I felt even better. You see, when you're clean on the outside, you want to do what you can to live clean on the outside, amen. You're clean on the inside, I'll get it right. You want to live clean on the outside. And my mom and dad didn't even understand that. They were like, what are you doing? I said, I don't know, but I just didn't like them no more. Found out later on why I didn't like them.
I'm telling you, isn't that what Titus chapter number 3 and verse 12, I quoted it earlier, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Here's the next verse. Grace saves a man, but it'll school you too. Amen. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. I'm talking about those things that a lot of people said in church now that say they're saved. Young people say, well, I want to go do that and do that. I'm telling you, if you're saved and you do go do it, I'm going to tell you something. You will never enjoy it. You will never be satisfied. Brother, I'm telling you, living for God and serving Jesus Christ, that's where the liberty is. That's where the freedom is. Being able to lay your head down at night, young people, and not have to worry to know you got good parents that love you and pray for you and have guided you and a church family that loves you to know, my friend, that you don't have to have the scars and you don't have to bear the burden of regrets. I'm talking about that's liberty. That is freedom. Amen. The joy. I just think about this man here. He had an unbelievable strength to break these shackles asunder. And I'm going to tell you, if you're lost this morning, and you've been raised in it all your life, I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. If you don't get saved, eventually, you'll break these bands. It don't matter how much your parents have trained you and prayed over you. If you don't get saved, you'll look for a place one day to break loose. You know, it don't matter how much I could preach my guts out to you today. If your mind's made up, you're going to break loose. You're just looking for the opportunity. Ain't nobody going to tame you. Amen. And you don't need tamed. You need transformed. Amen. Because, preacher, I don't want to do these things. When you get saved, you will. Amen. And this morning, I'm telling you, you think about it today. And you parents, let me just say this to you. Boy, I mean, this is not the direction I thought the sermon would go, but I want to say this to every parent this morning. You raised your children in a godly home and you prayed, you didn't do everything right. I know that because none of us have. There are no perfect parents. But if your children go astray, don't you spend your days beating yourself up, saying, I went wrong here and I went wrong there. And don't listen, if they blame you for it, don't you beat yourself up. Number one, they've never raised children. Can we get an amen? It ain't easy to raise children. Can I get a witness on that this morning? I know it's 12 o'clock, but I'm probably preaching till 12:15. We're probably getting out about 12:30. Amen. So go ahead and hang on, tighten up a little bit. But I'm telling you this morning, don't beat yourself up, parents. You raise your kids, you pray over them, you train them, you teach them right. They're going to come a day when they're going to have to make a choice. And hopefully they'll make that choice before 18 or 19. Maybe as a teenager they get saved. And if they do, these things are not fetters. These things are not binding. These things will keep you safe. These things will keep you in the right way. But if you're some young person this morning or some young adult and you're thinking about, man, I'm just going to, as soon as I get a chance, I'm busting out of here. I'm going to tell you what you are this morning. I tell you this because I love you. The Bible says you're a fool, amen, to break loose. Because where you're headed to is nothing but a cliff that you're going to go off of, and it'll never turn out good. It'll never turn out right. You may come back, but you won't come back the way you left. You may come back, and he'll take you back, and he'll change you, and he'll help you, but you'll have the burden, you'll have the scars, you'll have the regrets, you'll carry the rest of your life. Amen. Now thank God for the grace of God and for second chances. Thank God. We all need them, don't we? But every person here that ever went out there and came back, they'll be the first person to tell you, while the slate's clean, don't go that way. It don't pay to live for self and the devil in the world. And I think about the condition of this man. I'm going to move on and be done in just a moment. Not only the condition, but look at the crying of this man. Does this man look like he's happy? He's not happy. Look at verse 5. It's seen in the terrain. He's living in the mountains, in the tombs. And look at his tears. He's crying in the torments, cutting himself with stone. Young people, does that look like he's having a good time? When I think about the crying of this man, he's in such torment and such an agony that he's cutting himself. You know, you think about this world today. There are people living in this world that they self-inflict pain upon their body. They take drugs and they're doing all these things. They've given their body over and other people have abused their body. And, oh, they've had their pleasures in drugs and they've had their pleasures in perverted lifestyle. But it's just for a little season. And then their body
body is wasted and their body is worn out and it's been abused by drugs and it's been abused by people and they're so miserable and they're empty on the inside and it wasn't supposed to turn out this way. At one time there was a beautiful young lady or there was a nice looking young man, but now look at their face and their eyes are hollow around and their face is sunk in and some of their teeth are starting to rot out and listen, their body is just scarred and their mind is so perverted and they're empty on the inside and they're just looking for somewhere they can find a purpose in life. They're looking for somewhere that they can find hope. I'm going to tell you something, you'll not find hope in the bottom of a whiskey barrel, amen. You'll not find hope if my friend's snorting some cocaine or meth or some other kind of drugs. You'll not find hope this morning in getting out and living a sinful and perverted lifestyle. I'll tell you where you can find hope, amen. The same place this man found hope. In verse number 6, the Bible said, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran. I'm going to tell you, young person, what you need to do this morning. Dear sir, what you need to do this morning, you need to put your eyes on the one that can help you and offer you hope. And you need to run to Jesus is what you need to do. Well, I tell you, wouldn't you like to see somebody run to Jesus this morning? I'd like to see somebody tear out that pew before the invitation's even given. Mess this whole service up. Come running down this aisle. And like Brother Laddie said, bury up in that carpet and call on God and get born again. Hallelujah. Run, amen. I'm telling you, if you can run, you can be saved. If you'll come, you can be saved. This man was hopeless. Society had given up on him. His family had gave up on him. But he ran to the one person who could help him. He ran to Jesus. I tell you, church member, stooped in your religion, enduring church, why don't you run out of religion and run to Jesus? Run to him this morning. Run to him. I really pray that God would show somebody this morning that they're lost and they need to be saved. I see the crying and I see the condition, but then I thank God I see the conversion of this man. You know, no matter how bad someone is, there's hope if they're willing to run to Jesus. And you think about verse 6. This man is trying is what he's doing. The truth of the text is he didn't have to run to Jesus because Jesus was already coming to him. That's why he went through that storm anyway. That's why he didn't tell the disciples. There was bigger business on board than a storm. There was a soul on board. He was headed across that sea to get to that soul. And Jesus was coming to him. But I tell you, in my mind's eye, you know where I see? I see Jesus getting off that boat with the disciples. And I see that man coming off the top of that mountain down that hill, running. I mean, he ain't got a stitch of clothes on. He's bleeding. I mean, he's got tears dripping off his face. He looks like a wild man. His hair's in every direction. I mean, he's dirty and he's filthy and he's nasty. No, the world doesn't want anything to do with him. But the Savior's coming off that boat. He's stepping on the sandy shores there of Gadaree. And my friend, as he steps on that shore, here comes a man full of devils, full of demons. He's running to Jesus. He doesn't know what to do. I tell you, he does the right thing. Amen. He might have been full of the devil, but he bowed down and he began to worship the Son of God. I'm telling you, friend, if you'll come to him with a heart, amen. It was his heart that was coming to Jesus, and Jesus saw this man coming, amen. He's trying the best way he knows how to get to God, and he's trusting, he's worshiping him in spite of who he is, amen. And I see this man. He's tormented in verse 7, but thank God in verse 8 he's touched. Look what Jesus said. Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Well, I thank God for the day that he brought the world, the devil, out of us. I know we can go back to it this morning. But I'll tell you, if you're saved, here's the difference. I may do things that I shouldn't do sometimes. I mean, I fail God, what I'm saying. I'm not out in no deep sin, but prayerlessness is a sin. Not giving out a gospel tract when the Holy Spirit tells you is a sin.
sins of omission and commission. Say, Brother Gravely, do you fail God every single day? I don't want to. I strive not to, but I do. Do you know what the difference is this morning? Here's the difference. The difference is I don't want to fail God. I want to serve Him. I want to please Him. Was this man perfect after he got saved? No, but he was saved, wasn't he? The devil was out of him. Jesus transformed him. I ask you this question. Has the Lord ever transformed your life? Hey, this morning, is there a desire to live for God? Well, Brother Gravely, I'll be honest with you. I don't have much of a desire. If you've not had a desire to live for God, you say, Brother Gravely, I've never had that desire. And friend, you need to get born again. I wouldn't question anybody's salvation in and of themselves. It's up for the individual to decide. But I promise you, if you're saved this morning, the Holy Spirit will give you that assurance. He'll let you know you're saved. And if you're lost this morning, He'll let you know you're lost. All you got to do is ask Him. And I wonder, while we stand, our heads bowed, eyes are closed, a simple proposition. You say, I feel hopeless. Well, you're not. There's help for the hopeless this morning. I don't care where you've been or what you've done or how you lived. If you'll come to Jesus, He'll save your soul. He'll change your life. He'll make a difference. He'll take you just the way you are. He took this man just the way he was. And He'll take you this morning. I wonder why our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians are praying. I wonder if there's somebody here just by an uplifted hand. You'd say, Brother Gravely, don't embarrass me, but I'm not saved. I'm not saved this morning. How about it today? I don't know Jesus in the free pardon of sin. Is there somebody here you'd raise your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not saved. How about it this morning? If you died this morning, you say, I wouldn't go to heaven. I want you to pray for me. I wonder how many of them could lift your hand and say, I know I'm saved, beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know I'm going to heaven when this life is over with. You can raise your hand and testify to that. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Now, there's some of you you didn't raise your hand. And I don't know if you didn't raise your hand because you're not sure. I don't know what the situation is. But you need to respond to God. You need to make a move this morning. You need to let God help you today. We're going to sing a verse or two of this old song. And if He's speaking to your heart, folks have already come. They're praying. If you're not saved, I want to invite you, sinner, to come this morning and accept Christ as your Savior. Would you come while we sing?